Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that you all have had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason. I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. And I want to thank you all for being here and thank you for everybody that is online that's watching. And whenever you're watching it, whether you're watching it live or you're watching it later, last week we started our new series called Imperfections, and the word imperfection has so many bad thoughts and feelings that go with it, and it's one of those things where it really does bother a lot of people. And in first service, we actually had someone come up to me, and he said, "Hey, you know, your pictures are a little off," and I was like, "I know, they're a little imperfect, aren't they?" And I said, "If you get really close, you can see all the cracks in them, and it'll really drive you crazy, just so you know." So, and on our stage here, for those that are watching online, we have these cracked-looking mirrors, and they're hung just a little askew, and it's to go with the fact that, yes, imperfections are everywhere. And it's because, as people, we really do like it to be perfect, though. Or at least, you know, we want it to be perfect to what we consider perfection. So I actually started thinking about this, and I thought, you know, there are not a lot of imperfect things that bother me. I'm not one of those that's like, oh, it's a little off, and I really hate that. I can really look over these imperfect things and be like, it's not that big a deal. So I decided I'm going to start looking up things that are just a little imperfect, and maybe I'll find a few things that drive me a little nuts. That was a bad idea. I found quite a few things that really get under my skin. And one of the big ones that I was looking at that really gets under my skin is I hate imperfect fruit. So if there is an apple that has like a big old bruise on it, and you know, you see the side of it and it's mushy and brown, and if I see that at home, I'm like, it's disgusting, it's no good, throw the whole thing away. It's just bad. It's imperfect. It's no good anymore. And it's one of those things where people will look at me and go, "The rest of the apple's fine." I'm like, "No, it's not. Look, it's got a big bruise on it." It's the same thing with like bananas though. So you know that banana, when you open it up, it's got that big like brown black spots, a little mushy. I've gotten a little better with that. I actually will still eat the banana, but I'm gonna cut out like half of the banana. So it's not just that spot. I'm taking it all and throwing it away because I'm like, ugh, it's imperfect. It's no good. So then I started thinking about another thing maybe that would kind of drive me nuts and that's a little imperfect. And I know I'm not alone on this one, but I cannot stand imperfect driving. So bad, amen from out in the audience, bad driving. And it's like when people don't do like the small things, obviously when you're being reckless and dangerous and that's a bad thing. But when someone's not using their turn signals, that drives me crazy. Or, you know, when somebody is not stopping fully at a stop sign, I'm like, you barely even stopped. That's horrible. And so I started thinking about, so in a scenario of what I consider bad driving, so what is okay? And for me, really, turn signals need to be used at all times. So I don't care if I'm alone on the road and there's a guy that's 150, 200 feet in front of me. He's turning into his driveway. If he doesn't use that turn signal, I instantly start thinking, you're a bad driver. I judge them. And I judge them for that imperfection. It's such a silly thing to think when I really start sitting down and looking at it and I say, well, that guy, he's a bad driver because look how he's driving. I look at his imperfections and I instantly judge. And I'm here to say, sadly, we all are imperfect. We all fall short. This is an imperfect world full of imperfect people, and that includes you and me. We're all falling short of this perfection. But you have to know that your imperfections, they do not mean that you cannot live a life for God. Just because you're imperfect, it does not disqualify you. It doesn't mean that you will not be used by God. Your imperfections do not say that, hey, God can't use you anymore. That's not how that works. This whole series, we are looking at amazing champions for God. These big names of people who were loved by God, they served God, but also, these are people who made huge mistakes in their lives. But just because they made these mistakes, just because they are imperfect people, it does not mean that God has left them. Last week, we talked about the very first people that were ever on this earth, and that was, we were looking at Adam and Eve. So literally, they got to be right next to God. They walked and talked with God in person. Everything was perfect. But what happened was eventually they disobeyed God. They went against God's commands. And because of it, sin entered them, and they were no longer able to walk with God in the Garden of Eden. But that did not mean God was done with them. You think about that. They had perfection, and they could be with Him. But because of their sin, they were cast out. You would think God was like, nope, you've messed up, it's over. No. Even though they failed miserably, God still loved them. God was still there for them. God still used them. And He was there through it all. This week, we're going to look at another amazing man for God. And his name is Abram, who is later renamed by God Abraham. Now, Abram had a wife named Sarai, who will later be renamed by God to Sarah. And so we're actually just going to take a small glimpse at their story. As I urged you last week, I would love for you to read the full story, take a look at it, and I'm going to say it again this week. To get the whole story of Abraham and Sarah, you have to read through Genesis 12 through Genesis 24. And that's going to give you their whole life, everything that happened, everything they went through, and it is an amazing long story. But today, we're going to focus just on a couple pieces, and we're going to start in Genesis 12, 1 through 5. Genesis 12, 1 through 5. It's all the way at the beginning from the front. I read from the NIV Bible. If you want to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, there's some in the rows and there's some stacks in the back that you can have. If you do not have a Bible and do not own one, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. Before we dive into these verses, though, I do want to say that if you are a person that likes genealogy or family trees of people and people in the Bible, if that is you and you're like, oh, I love that, and I'm going to say nerd, but that's okay. We all have our things we love. And so I know quite a few people that love genealogies, and so I wanted to throw it out there. If you go to the end of chapter 11, right before we're reading here, you can actually trace the family line from Noah, who is the same Noah from Noah and the flood when the great flood happened. So all the way from Noah to Abram. So you can see where all of this works through to this point. So it's kind of a neat tidbit to take a look at. Chapter 11 is where that would be. But we're going to start in Genesis 12, 1 through 5. It says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there." So this starts off letting us know who Abram is. We know that Abram has to be close to God. We find out right away that God talks to Abram, and He has huge plans for Abram. God tells Abram that he needs to leave everything. He says, leave your country. This is your home. This is the place you know. This is your comfort. I want you to leave that behind. He then says, I also want you to leave your people. That's all of your extended family and friends that you've made in living in this home for so many years. And we read in verse 4 that Abram is being called to do this at the age of 75 years old. You think about how much comfort you have in that house that you have made, around the family and friends and all of those that you have built relationships with. I know what it's like to leave from one place to another, and you look at these relationships and say, I have to leave them all behind. Why? Because God is calling me elsewhere. Think about all the creature comforts you're leaving. We like our homes. That's what we do. We spend time making our homes a place we like to be. We like our stuff. We like our people. And after 75 years of life, God calls Abram to leave it all, to move on. And it's because God has an even bigger plan for Abram's life, and it's bigger than he could have ever imagined. God says to Abram that he wants him to leave because he's going to make him into a great nation. That God is going to bless Abram, and that his name is going to be so great that it's going to be heard all over. That it will be known for all time. Which we know that his name is known throughout all time because right now we're talking about it. Thousands and thousands of years later, if you have studied the Bible in any way, shape, or form, the name Abraham is going to come up. You're going to hear it. You're going to see it because it all traces back to Abraham and what he's doing here. God says that he's going to bless those who bless Abram and that whoever curses Abram, they're going to be cursed themselves. This is saying that God has big things that he's going to do with Abram to literally change the world. That God's on Abram's side. And it seems like a no-brainer. Like if this was something that was offered by God and said, you want to go and do these things because I'm going to make you a great nation and I'm going to change the world in your name. It's almost like an offer you can't refuse. So Abram does as God asks. And Abram takes his wife and brings his nephew Lot with him. And reading this, we can tell that Abram is an amazing man that is ready to serve God in his life. Because it says he goes. He says, yeah, let's do this. So God is with Abram. God is using Abram to do amazing things. So I want to set that first so we know what kind of man he is. But we're going to go a little further into the story. We're going to talk about some of the things that Abram does along the way. So we're going to turn to Genesis 12, 10 through 20. Genesis 12, 10 through 20. And I thought I would go ahead and tell this story, and I thought it'd be great because it is Valentine's weekend. And if you did not remember, Valentine's Day is this Tuesday, so do not forget. But I'm going to tell you now that this story we're going to read about Abram here, do not follow his example, okay? With what's going to happen, don't read this and go, that's a great idea. No, okay? When we're talking about love, spouses, and happiness, don't do this, okay? So we're going to read Genesis 12, 10 through 20. It says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife? Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Sarai was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife, Sarai. The Pharaoh summoned Abram. What have you done to me? He said. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. So it starts off, there's this huge famine where Abram is living with his wife, Sarai. So they travel to a place where there is food, which is Egypt, so they're prospering there. You need food to live. If where you're at, there is no food, the simple truth is, you gotta find it where there is food, and they find out that Egypt is the place to go. So now they're entering in Egypt, they're going to another land, and Abram here, he starts off so strong, looking so good. He says, wife, love of my life, I know you are gorgeous. You are more beautiful than everyone else. You are so stunning. Everyone knows it. Everyone can see how amazing you are. So he's starting off really good. The women are like, oh, that's very nice. My husband should tell me these things. But then it turns quickly. Abram says, okay, because you're gorgeous, they're going to see how gorgeous you are. And I'm going to say, well, you know what? This is my wife. And they're going to look at me and go, this schlub, this guy, that's your wife? They're going to kill me. So I need you to do me a favor. Can you lie to everyone and say that you're my sister? Oh, that got weird. It got wrong. That's not right. But this is such a bigger problem than just the lie and the fear of the Egyptians. First thing you see here is that Abram is not trusting God to take care of him. He's coming up with his own ways to protect himself because he's having these irrational fears. It's not irrational because she's pretty. Yes, she's gorgeous. Obviously, it says so. It says that actually she was so gorgeous that they did take notice. It's irrational because God told Abram that he's going to make him into this great name, that he would bless those who bless him, but also that God is going to curse those who curse him. How quickly Abram forgot that this promise came straight from God. God said, I will take care of you. We can look at Abram and we can say, yeah, that dude is messed up and he made some huge mistakes. But we do the exact same things in our lives, though. We read and hear that God is good. We hear from everyone that, you know, God will take care of it, that life is full of storms and God is bigger than it all. But as soon as this really big trouble happens in our life, as soon as you are just feeling mentally exhausted, what do? We try to fix it ourselves. Well, how am I going to handle this? How am I going to fix this situation? And to be truthful, there are some times we come up with some really interesting ways to try and manage the troubles that are happening in our life. Why? Because we think, you know what? I think I could fix it this way. And it gets weird. Why does that happen? It's because we forget to focus on God. We forget to go to Him when we're worried or when we're scared. And as you look at what Abram did here, he also brought his wife into sin as well. He said, you have to lie for me. I'm going to die if you do not lie. It's the only thing that will save me. So you have to do this. And so she does. But then on top of that, he has also brought Pharaoh into this craziness and this lie as well. So what happens is God brings serious diseases on Pharaoh and his family and his household. Why? Because of Abram's lie. God said, those who curse you will be cursed. You think God wanted it to happen this way? Do you think God said, yes, give your wife away and say that it's your sister? No, that's not what happened. And so he did this whole lie that brought all these horrible things down on Pharaoh's house. So Pharaoh sends them away with everything that Pharaoh had given to Abram to marry Sarai. Somehow you look at the story though and go, Abram kind of came out a lot better on the end of this than he deserved. With everything that he did, he got away pretty unscathed. And that's because God took care of him. Even though he disobeyed God, he gave his wife to another man. The rulers of that land were struck with sickness because of his lies, and he leaves with riches. So we know that this was a huge mistake that Abram did. So you can look at this and say, well, I guess that means that the promises that God made to Abram were over, because Abram decided to disobey God and follow his own wants and fears. But the truth is, no, that's not where it ends. God was not done with Abram because of his mistakes. So if you keep reading through chapters 13 through 16, you will see God keeps telling Abram over and over again, you are going to be a father of many nations. He says that your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, that there will be so many of them, you'll not be able to count them all. As time goes on, Abram makes a lot of mistakes. If you keep reading through what I told you to read through there, he makes a lot of mistakes. God keeps promising Abram, though, over and over again, that you're going to have a family. You're going to have more than anyone can count. But Abram, at this time, he didn't even have a single child, not one. And so he kept thinking to himself, how is this possible? How can I have all of these descendants and all of this family when I don't even have one kid? So what happens is there comes fighting, there comes cheating, there comes adultery, there's horrible treatment of slaves and children. The story is nasty and ugly. It almost feels like a soap opera, really. There's twists and turns right here. You'll be reading through it and you'll be like, oh, no, he didn't. Oh, no way, I can't believe this happened. Who did what now? They have illegitimate children and there's abuse. And I'm sure at some point there's some evil twin that pops out of nowhere, you know, because it's a soap opera. But in all seriousness, the story of Abram is so imperfect. It's because it's not your Disney story where the two find each other, they fall in love, then they live happily ever after, and they all just were good. Why wasn't it that way? It's because Abram and Sarai are imperfect people living in this imperfect world. They're just like you and me. But we want to read what happens after the mess that Abram made. I just told you about all those horrible things that they've done. I summarized it. So what happens next? So we're going to read Genesis 17, 1 through 8. Genesis 17, 1 through 8. It says, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers.' Abram fell face down, and God said to him, 'As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God.'" So we know that Abram now is 99 years old. This is 24 years after God made his original promise with him. God was not done with Abraham. He said, "I want to make a new covenant with you. I want to make a new contract with you. I want to show you again that I'm here with you. It has been 24 years since I told you that this is going to happen, and it is still going to happen, even though you have messed up." He says, "Follow me faithfully. Follow me blamelessly, and your family and your family's family and all those that come after, you're going to be blessed." And he says, "I will be their God." God changes Abram's name to Abraham, which means, Abraham means father of many. Why? Because God is still keeping his promise. Abraham made a lot of mistakes. And Abraham most definitely made more mistakes after this new covenant contract. But God was not done with him. So that brings it to us. You have made a lot of mistakes. I have made a lot of mistakes. And we will make more mistakes in the future, unfortunately. But God is not done with you and me. God is not seeing our imperfections in our lives and saying, "Well, you're unlovable because of what you've done." He's not looking at the imperfections and saying, "Well, now you are unusable." Actually, God is saying, "I see your mistakes. I see your pain. I see you." God is saying, "Come to me. Follow me." Just as God told Abraham to walk with him faithfully, God is calling us as well. But the truth is, we have it easier than Abraham did. And you might be asking, "Well, why do we have it easier?" Because we actually have God's Son, Jesus. We also have the Holy Spirit, who is God living in us. He's inside us, telling us, pulling at us. Life is hard. Life is scary. Life hurts. And knowing God does not take all that away. Instead, though, God gives us a hope through his Son, Jesus. It's funny, though, because I look at Abram's story and I read this and I cringe. I look at that and go, "Oh, man, Abram's mistakes are forever printed right here for us to read, for us to scrutinize, for us to judge." You look at that story and go, "Oh, I hope my story is not printed in here." But that's not the point of Abram's story for us to read here. It's not to look at him and go, "That guy's messed up." No, the major point of Abram's story is that as people, when we fail, God's not done with us. He wants to take our imperfect lives and lead us back to him for generations to come. God made a covenant with us. God made a contract with us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We are to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, to know that he is God, to know that he has died for our sins. Then we are to confess with our mouths the truth of what we know and what we've learned. And that is then to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then comes the really hard part. That's navigating this life by trying to follow Him with what we do in our lives. God says that you are washed clean of your sins through His Son. Those mistakes that you've made are gone and you are made new. And it's all because He loves us. You don't deserve it. It's not that you've done something amazing. God's like, well, you've earned forgiveness. No, He says flat out, it's because of my love for you. I send my Son Jesus to die for you. It's just as God loved Abraham. And that's what brings me to the challenge this week. I want you to look at your life, to look at your life story, everything that's happened. I want you to look at where maybe you have fallen. I want you to look at where maybe you have chosen wrong. And this is something that could hurt and it's hard. But I want you to take that hurt, take those failures, and I want you to know that God loves you so much that He's taken that sin from you. That He's taken that past, He's wiped it clean. That He can restore you, make you new. And now that you've been made new, follow His teachings. Take these words, take these examples, and say, yeah, I'm going to follow this. Rely on God. It's because your story is imperfect. But with a perfect God, anything is possible. Go to Him. Do not run from Him. When you're struggling, don't run from the church. Don't run from Christians. Don't run from God. Go into them. This is exactly where you need to be. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you so much for this week. Thank you for giving us these amazing examples. All the way from the beginning, as people, we were imperfect. And God, you said, I love you so much that I want to help you. I want to heal you. I want to make everything right. Just follow my plan. I pray that as we go out this week, that we can look at our imperfect lives and say, God, yeah, I've made mistakes, but you are a perfect God who loves me anyways. As we leave here today, I pray that we can go out and try to live for you, that we can follow your words, and that we can spread the news and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, your Son. We love you. We thank you. Shanam, I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.